بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, how are mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver? We find the lives of the Salafi Saliheen, the pious predecessors, and of course, mostly in the life of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his illustrious companions, the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, then the Tabi'een, the various awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had some beautiful examples for us to follow, and traits and qualities which were most beautiful. They had the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. They always believed, understood, and felt the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that Allah was watching them always. And because of this, they were very, very careful in their lives. They had a conscience that they were concerned and worried about. It wasn't a life of freedom and do as one feels. And at times perhaps we read some Quran and do some ibadah, and the rest of our lives we do as we wish and follow our nafs. But every moment and every breath of their life, this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala was there. And therefore when we look at some of the incidents of the Salaf al-Salihin, it's absolutely amazing. Mind-boggling that what extent and what lengths they would go through to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to display the taqwa they had in their lives, that wara' and that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they had all the time with them, that they would ensure they would not deceive any person, they would not cheat, they will not harm any people. They will not oppress any person. And if you look at those examples and incidents in their lives and compare that to our lives, you will see Zameen Asman Farak. What a great and big and huge difference we find in our lives as compared to them. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi was a very, very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a great muhaddith. He was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He has narrated many, many ahadith. He's well known for his ahadith. Also, he would strive with the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 6 months in jihad, 6 months engaged in teaching Quran, hadith. There are beautiful things that one can talk about the biography of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi. But I want to explain to you just one simple incident. From this we will understand what is the meaning of wara', which we lack in our lives, and the wara' they had, the piety they had, and how they refrained from any type of thing that would be haram, and how they refrained from any dubious thing, anything doubtful, and how they would bring about in their lives that taqwa, that even that which was permissible, at times they would refrain from that thing which was permissible, having fear that that mubah thing, that permissible thing, could lead them into something which they could land themselves into a problem and could be makruh or haram. So even that which was mubah and permissible, they would sometimes abstain from that as well, if they feared that that mubah, the thing which was permissible, could lead them into something impermissible. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, in one of his journeys, he was from the place called Marw. And this, he went on this journey to Sham, to Syria. The distance between these two places is a very, very long distance. So he undertook this arduous journey, and he went for some dini work, perhaps to teach some ahadith Whilst he was there, he borrowed a pen or a pencil from some person. And after completing his work, he returns home. Remember the mode of transport at that time, not like the aeroplanes and the jets that we have today. A very long, very far distance. Must have taken him weeks to undergo this journey, to go from Marw right till Sham, Syria, and return. And when he comes back home, when he returns, he realizes that this pen that he had borrowed, the pencil he borrowed, he had forgotten to give it to the owner. Lo and behold, he undertakes another journey just to go and return a simple pencil to the owner. Brothers and elders, let us ponder how many times we have borrowed things from people and we have never even returned those things again. A simple thing like a pencil. Why he had wara in him. That is why ulama have written that don't become amazed and astonished and marvel about the qiyam and siyam of a person. MashaAllah, so much of ibadah he makes. He fasts a lot and he makes so much of ibadah. Excellent. He said what we should be marveling about is with the ibadah that Allah has given the person tawfiq to do is wara in his life, this type of piety. That a man is ensuring that not only he stays away from that which Allah has made haram, but anything which is mushtabah, mushtabihat, dubious, doubtful, and even at times thing which is mubah and permissible, he refrains from it, having fear that it may take him to something which is ghair mubah. And all the time he ensures that he does not harm any person or take a single cent unjustly from any person. If he engages in something, indulges in something wrong, he immediately makes amends. It worries him, it bothers him, he becomes restless. And therefore, the person, one of our mashayikh have mentioned, that don't just marvel at the person's qiyam and siyam and his outward ibadat. If a person would his outward ibadat has this quality of wara', waw ra'ain, wara', if he has wara' in him, then fahuwa abdullahi haqqan. Then truly he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with his grandson Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And Hassan radiallahu ta'ala in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a young boy. Plus minus 7 years old was the maximum. Young boy. Little child. And one day he picks up a date in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he puts it into his mouth. Little boy. Nabi Kareem Sam goes immediately and gently pulls out the date and tells him, Kakhin, Kakhin. Leave it out, leave it out. Remove it. Don't you know that sadaqah is not permissible for us, we are Ahl Bayt? Sadaqah is not permissible for us. Oh my little child, you cannot eat and partake of this date. If we were in that position, we say, okay, no, he's a small boy. He's not even baligh. Don't make a big noise. Just overlook it. The teaching, the tarbiyah of our beloved Rasulullah shows us that no matter who and how big, but in such a pleasant manner, Rasulullah made sure that he made islah. And therefore, Hassan radiallahu anhu became such a great sahabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself on one occasion it is mentioned that he saw a date lying and not thinking, he took this date and he put it in his mouth, and highly possible, it was a date which was somebody had given as hadiyah. But because people also give their sadaqah for Rasulullah to distribute, there could have been this element of doubt now, that it could have been a date given from of sadaqah, and it's not permissible for me. The entire night, the wife of Rasulullah says that Rasulullah was restless the entire night. He did not sleep the entire night. He had this worry that I must not have eaten a simple thing like a date which was not correct for me to have eaten. There is a person by the name of Thabit bin Ibrahim. Thabit bin Ibrahim is traveling in some area and he comes past an orchard. He's very hungry. He's sitting down and he sees a tree full laden with apples. And one apple falls down from the branch. Thabit bin Ibrahim is very, very hungry. He picks this apple and then he begins to eat this apple. My respected brothers and elders, look at this. These are small things. Khajur, date. Apple is a small thing. One pencil is a small thing. Imagine the big things that you and I usurp. And we just eat and devour properties of people, monies of people, without any conscience in us. Thabit is eating, he eats nisfu tufaha, half the apple. And then it dawns upon him, this apple does not belong to me. I have not received any permission from the owner. He finds the gardener, the person who was in charge, the caretaker. And he goes to the caretaker and he pleads to him, please forgive me. I've taken this apple and it is wrong for me to have eaten from this apple. Please pardon me. Please forgive me. The caretaker says, no, this is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. If you go to my owner. So where is the owner? It's an entire day's journey and he goes to the owner's house. Knocks on the door, makes salam, introduces himself. He says, please forgive me. What happened? He says, no, I began to eat an apple that I saw had fallen from a tree from your orchard. And then I realized I did not seek your permission. Please pardon me. Please forgive me. They were worried on the day of Qiyamah, the person must not come and take away their sawab. These were the Salaf Salihin. So the person says, no, I'll forgive you only on one condition. Okay, what's the condition? I'm ready to fulfill any condition you tell me. He says, you got to marry my daughter. But she is blind. She's deaf. She's dumb. And she's paralyzed. She can't walk. What a difficult condition. What a difficult condition. He says, I'm ready to fulfill any condition as long as you pardon me. So his nikah takes place and then he's sent to the house of this girl. So Thabit bin Ibrahim goes, enters. He's newly married. And now he is going to expect this woman who is blind, deaf, dumb. She can't walk. She's paralyzed. She'll be sitting somewhere or on the bed, unable to even talk properly or move or do anything. And this is going to be his nasib, his taqdeer. But when he goes, to his utter amazement, he finds the contrary. He sees she's able to see. And she's speaking. She can hear me very well and she's moving. So immediately he asks her, I don't understand, your father told me you are deaf, you're dumb, you're blind, you can't walk. She says, yes. I'm blind to all those things which are impermissible. I had never set my eyes on anything which is haram. My ears only hear that which is correct and permissible for me. And I only speak the truth. I don't carry tales and make ghibah. And I use my limbs only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have never indulged in haram. And Thabit bin Ibrahim finds this woman to be absolutely beautiful. So he lives with her. And they get a child. My respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters at home. This child is none other than Nu'man bin Thabit, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam-i-Azam, the great jurist. Most of us follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi in fiqh, in masail, in jurisprudence. Such a great imam. All this came out of what? Of the wara'ah of his father. And look at our lives. Many times we blame our children for the wrongs they have done. Has that mother bothered about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did she have any conscience in her when she was pregnant, what she ate, what she partook, what she did? Did the father make sure that he was only earning that which was halal and doing things that were upright and in accordance to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it like how the person said that the cat ate 100 mice and the cat is gone for hajj? So we do some ibadah, external acts. But this wara', we avoid of wara'. We don't have this wara'. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala has a servant and he prepares some dish for him one day. And as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is eating, he's enjoying this meal. And suddenly that servant tells him, Hazrat, you know, from where I managed to make this meal and this source of this money? He says, from where? He says, you know, in the time of Jahiliyyah, takahantu, I pretended as though I could fortune tell. And I deceived one man and I just lied to him. And I told him something about what may happen to him in the future. I practiced fortune telling. I knew nothing about fortune telling. And then today he gave me the money for that time when I had given him some information about something of his future. And with that money I prepared this dish for you. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu put his fingers into his mouth and he vomited, he spewed out all that he had partaken of. And immediately he threw out all those things that he ate because of this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this haram morsels must not enter my belly. Fortune telling is haram in Islam. The money derived from that is not permissible. So this is the wara' that they had. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there are so many incidents. Once from Bahrain, very, very precious perfume, amber was brought or musk was brought, and he needed somebody to weigh and measure this musk before distributing it. It belonged to the Baytul Mal. His wife Atika radiallahu ta'ala anha, she volunteered, she says, I'm good in weighing and measuring. He says, no. Why? He says, perhaps whilst you are touching this musk, because you're going to use your fingers to weigh, to measure the musk, the quantities of musk, or this very precious perfume, and after that, unintentionally, you may put your hands and rub it on your cheeks or on your hair, and you'll be deriving benefit from even this little musk that has come onto your fingertips, which actually belongs to Baytul Mal, does not belong to us. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. The second Umar, who came from the progeny of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, married to Fatima. Fatima came from the Umayyad family. Her father, her brothers were all royal people. She had inherited great riches from her father. 7 members of her family were all rulers of the time. But Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi was a very, very pious servant of Allah, extremely simple. When he got married, he gave her the option, if you want to live with me, your life has to be extremely simple. And all the jewelry that you have received as inheritance over the years, all this you have to give it away to the poor because the family members, her brothers and her father, they were known for having oppressed many people and unjustly usurping their wealth. And the money that they accrued was not permissible. So he says, everything you have to give away or you separate from me. She obeyed her husband. She gives everything away. A royal family woman. She gives everything away to please her husband. In fact, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's an occasion in their life, they're living a very simple life. And somebody just gives some apples to Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi to distribute to the poor. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi takes these apples and he's giving it to the small children and the poor people. When suddenly his little son sees nice red apples and all like other children are receiving some apples, he stretches his hand forward and he manages to get one apple in his hand. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah he catches sight of it and immediately he pulls back that apple from his son's hand. And the son comes running home crying to the mother, oh my beloved mother, see what papa has done to me today. All the other children are taking an apple. I wanted to eat an apple. I was hungry. And my father, he has deprived me of this apple. The mother became angry. She was disappointed. How could Umar bin Abdul Aziz do such a thing to our child? She says, don't worry, my beta. She takes out a few coins, then she buys him some apples. And he's very happy, he's busy eating that apple. When suddenly Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah enters the house, and he sees his son eating the apple, immediately goes to him, where did you get this apple from? So the mother interjects, She says, I purchased this apple from my own money. Our son came crying and he said that you deprived him of taking an apple when you were giving other children. How could you be so harsh and cruel? Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahman began to shed tears. He cried. He says, oh Fatima, wallahi, I did not want to take away the apple from his hand. But I could not give my child an apple which did not belong to him. I had to first see to the poor children. It is on the Baytul Mal. So this was the wara they had. This was the type of wara they had. And put ourselves in our different world that we are working in and living in. In the corporate world, people are working in companies, in factories, we're working for people in businesses, in shops, perhaps in some university or madrasa or institution. Many things do not belong to us. It is for public use or for the use of that institution or that organization. That car is given to you to do work for that organization, not for your personal use. That pen that you are using, it is for that particular work that you are doing. Not for your own personal use. And how many things we pocket for ourselves. And then we ask, how come I'm not changing my life? I'm not finding the taqwa. What is happening to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Why aren't we gaining the pleasure of Allah? Why aren't we gaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore we have to make an introspection of our lives. Look at the lives of these salafi salihin. Little incidents I'm giving you today. May Allah give me tawfiq first, and all of us tawfiq of understanding, and bringing this into our lives. Rasulullah says, La ta'adil birri'ah. Somebody came and said, Ya Rasulullah, there's a certain person, and he spoke about his effort, sacrifices in ibadah. And the other person, not so much of nafil ibadah, but he has got this quality of wara'. Rasulullah says, don't equate the both, don't equate the both. Wara is far more superior. It is a very a'la maratib and level of iman. When a person has wara in his heart, he will have sukoon in his heart. Matma'annat ilayhi as-sadr. Watma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. That your heart, your soul feels relaxed, serene, it is at peace. When you are abstaining from something which is dubious, or you indulging in something, and you are feeling completely serene and happy at ease, you're not feeling anxiety, you're not feeling restless that what I'm doing, maybe it's wrong, I don't want anybody to see me doing it, it could be haram, it could be disliked by Sharia, no. When your heart is completely at itminan, you have that certitude, you relax, you're not feeling any apprehension or fear or anxiety or restlessness, then that is wara. So that brings sukoon in our lives. Perhaps you may not indulge in it, not get that extra money that could have come your way, but there was that element of doubt, so you did not accept that. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi and many others, Allama Muhasibi rahmatullahi, they received a large portion of inheritance from their fathers. When the fathers left this world, in their miras, the inheritance, their share, they received a large sum of money, but because there was some grey area, some doubt that they had with the dealings of their father or some money that had come in some way, then Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi himself, with his own father's money, he was a bit doubtful, he was a bit concerned. His heart was not completely relaxed. He did not take a single cent from it. And us, what will we do? A large sum comes, we'll take it, now we'll start doing fatwa shopping. And we will find that fatwa to suit our needs. And we'll see, certain mufti said it's permissible. What are you making such a big noise for? Fear Allah Rabbul Izzat, that on the day of Qiyamah, as we mentioned last week, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. On that day when people stand before Allah Rabbul Izzah, we indulge in all these things, we cheated, we deceived. There's an incident of a person, a Yahudi, he goes to a shop to purchase some garment, some material or some garment, and the owner of the shop was not there. But there was some defect in this garment. So the worker thought the boss is not around. And he sells him this garment without informing him and showing him that the defect in this garment. And the person buys it. They come with a caravan of people and they were and come to do some business, and then he set off on his journey. And then when the owner comes back, he said, how was things? He said, one man came and he bought some garment here. He said, did you show him the defects? He said, no. He said, where is this person? He said, no, he came in a caravan and they're gone already. And he found, got information of this person, the owner of the store. Himself he goes. Ulama have written 3 days journey until he catches up with this caravan. He finds, who's this person who purchased the material? He said, please take your money back. Give me the garment because there were defects and the worker did not show you these defects. He said, who are you? What's the problem? He says, no, that this goods had some defects in it. He said, but why are you showing me? He says, because we are Muslims. We are Muslims. And our Nabi Islam has taught us that whoever deceives any person, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, he cannot claim to be a Muslim. He cannot claim to be a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Yahudi, he then says, you know what? I would confess. The Yahudi says that I gave counterfeit money. But now when I see the truth of Islam, I also embrace Islam. He recites the kalima. He becomes a believer. How many people have been touched with our lives who have they become depressed and disappointed and gone far away from Islam because of our dealings and not showing any wara? I know of personally a person. And this lady had purchased some fruit from a shop. And the cashier gives change, you know, we give few cents. She had given just 2 cents, 2 cents extra change, 2 cents. And when she goes home, she sees 2 cents extra, she makes her husband go all the way back to the fruit shop just to give back the 2 cents. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is very valuable. Allah looks at these things and Allah blesses such a person. Allah blesses the family of such a person. Allah blesses the progeny of such a person. There was a man who lost a gold coin when he went to the masjid, or some another incident where a person had gone to visit his friend. When he comes back, he looks, oh, did I drop this one gold coin somewhere? So he goes back and he searches, and he finds it right there on the doorstep of his friend's house. Or in the other incident, he finds it in the masjid, picks it up, and immediately he puts it down again. And he says, maybe there is that chance, that possibility that this gold coin is not mine. It could be somebody else's. Somebody else could have dropped their gold coin. It could be theirs. Therefore, I would refrain from picking this gold coin up. So whether it was a date, whether it was an apple, there are so many other incidents, whether it was perfume, there are incidents of honey, where Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi was feeling for honey. Some servant, some person close, or a friend, makes him happy, and he organizes the honey, and he comes, and he's taking the spoon of honey, and he's about to eat it, and then he inquires, where is this honey from? How did you get it? He said, no, we purchased it. Oh, well done, mashallah, very good. But how did it come here? He said, no, the animals that are used for transporting the mail, like how we have a postman, and he goes and he delivers the post, and he has a vehicle, he has a car, he has a bicycle, whatever it is, he has some transport. Like that, in those days, they had animals, like a camel, upon which all the mail was loaded, and then the person would come and give the mail, distribute the mail, but that belonged to the public. So we used this transport, as the mail was coming, we put the honey on this camel, so it reached us very easily. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi says, take this honey, go to the market, sell the honey, and all that money must go to Baytul Mal, because it was not permissible for us to have used this public transport, that which belonged to Baytul Mal, for my personal needs. This is not a lesson only for the ordinary people, for mashayikh, for ulama, for people in organizations, in madrasas, institutions, and throughout. Every single thing we have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for on the day of Qiyamah. This conscience we must have within us. We must have that worry that Allah is going to see on the day of Qiyamah. Did I take away somebody's rights? Did I usurp any person's rights? Did I harm any person? Was I right in doing this? This is what you call wara', where a person does not only abstain from haram, when a person does that which is correct and what he is commanded to do from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he refrains from haram, that is taqwa. Wara', according to many scholars, it is even beyond taqwa, in this sense that even a person will refrain from that which is mubah for him, lest it takes him into something which is ghair mubah. So whether we are selling some material, Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi, or there was a young girl, and she comes to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the great scholar, one of the four imams, and she asked him a question. And she says, "Oh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, we spin yarn and we sew material on our rooftops because there's no light, there's no, sometimes we don't have any candle because they were poor. So they sit on top of the homes, they had roofs, rooftops, and they use the moonlight and they are busy spinning yarn to make ends meet. Perhaps they were young girls and they had no parents, nobody to support them, and this is their way of income and living. But she says sometimes the guards of Baghdad, the police of Baghdad, they are standing outside and they have lanterns. And they have these torches and lamps. So we derive some benefit because of the light that is coming from their torches and their lamps. And remember at that time especially, that these police and these guards, they would take bribery from people. And there was a very great doubt casted on their earnings and their income. Because they used to make zulam on people, and they would acquire bribery from people, and this money would then pollute their earnings. So this was a question bothering her, a little girl, earning a halal income, and she was concerned that this little light that sometimes we derive benefit from, will this be permissible for us? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi is perplexed. He asks, "Who are you?" No person ever came and asked a question of this nature. No man came forward. This is a young girl. She said, "I'm the sister of Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi." Bishr Hafi was another very great wali of Allah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal begins to cry. And he says, "It is only from a house like yours that wara' as-sadiq yakhruju minkum al-wara' as-sadiq." True wara' and true piety can only emanate from a person's home like you all in Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Then he advises her that don't derive benefit from their light, because that won't be permissible. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was imprisoned in Malta, and the Lendi incident we mentioned some years back, the entire incident, Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi was actually summoned and he was imprisoned by the British in Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullahi alayhi. Although he was arrested, but he insisted he must go in prison with his ustad and Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi. It's a lengthy incident. Nonetheless, he's there, and the prison warden observes that this man is a good man, engaged in zikrullah, ibadah, he's not even doing anything wrong, such a pious. He was affected by the amal of Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madi rahmatullahi alayhi, and he could see this man is in difficult conditions. He needs some oil to just make some type of food for himself. There was no oil. So this prison warden feels sorry, feels pity, and he brings some oil for him to use. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullahi alayhi refused to take that oil because the prison warden used to take bribes from people, and that money he purchased the oil could be from haram income, and he refused to take such oil. Like this, there are so many examples of different awliya of Allah, Salafi Saliheen. It makes us ponder and reflect. That's why I said in the beginning, Zameen Asman Farak, between their lives and our lives. They were the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make a concerted effort, some little bit of effort. And some person mentioned so nicely when somebody asked him, "Izni, give me some advice." And then he says, "You know what? A little bit of wara, little bit of wara in your life, which I explained already, this piety. It is better and it is far more superior than all the entire world put it together, all the salat that they make. So we need this wara and this type of piety in our lives, so that wherever we are working, whatever we are dealing with, whether it is inheritance, or whether it is some property that we are using, make sure that we do not abuse this object that we are using, or this item of any person, or whatever it may be. Ensure we don't harm any person, we don't indulge in haram, and we are absolutely just and upright, and we forego that enjoyment that we may have derived, and that beautiful chance of making a quick buck. But we will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not abuse the funds of any person, especially public funds. And if you are a treasurer in any institution or any masjid, then it becomes extremely more important for you that every cent is hisab kitab for. Yes, people make mistakes and we must make amends immediately, but not turn a blind eye to it and then usurp people's money. How many women, how many yateems have been deprived of their right, the haqq? How many people have been deprived of the leg of the mirath, inheritance? May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah bring and instill in our hearts the quality of wara'. May Allah give me wara', give all of us wara'. There are so many other examples of the Salaf al-Salihin. Every sahabi you take, every pious person, we find in the biographies, this particular trait and quality is mentioned. The wara. I'll end off with one example given in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, incident where a person purchases a land and he pays a price for the land. But as he's now building his property on the land, and as he's excavating and he's digging, he finds a whole jar of gold coins. Immediately he goes to the seller. And he says, brother, this is your jar of gold coins, perhaps you put as a treasure, and you forgot about it. And many people, they put the treasures, especially in those times, and they forget about it. There was one person who should have his suplang money put under the mattress. And he went for Hajj or Umrah. And the son, Bichara, felt sorry for the father, you know, this mattress has gone so old. So he gave the mattress away and he bought a new mattress. When Papa came back, he left the Zamzam one side. First thing he went to see his money, why everything is there. He goes, he sees new mattress, the money is gone. But where's my mattress? He said, Papa, I sold it. Everything was there, that entire bed, I gave it away. He said, Ya Allah, I had all my hooplang money under that mattress. So in any case, these people had genuine money of theirs in this jar. But look at the seller, he says, no, boy, I sold you the land. Whatever came with the land is yours. He says, no, it can't be, because I only purchased the land. This gold coin belongs to you. They're actually fighting. One is saying, no, it does not belong to me. The other say, no, it doesn't, I didn't purchase it, it is yours. Wallahi, respected brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves if we were in that person's condition. Perhaps we wouldn't have even gone back and told the person about the jar of gold. So they go to a person, to a qadi, to arbitrate. And the qadi ponders, you see, both are adamant. One is saying, no, I sold you the land and everything. The other say, I didn't purchase this. It belongs to you. Why should I take it? He says, okay, but you got children? You got a son? He says, yes. You got a daughter? Yes. You see, marry the both. Check, of course, they were both happy. They married. And then he says, use a jar of gold coins for their nikah and for their life. And this is what they did. But again, look at the wara' the person had. And therefore, it is imperative. Let us inculcate this quality of wara' to the best of our ability. Then we'll have sukoon in our lives. We'll have the serenity. And this will bring us to a very a'la martaba of iman. Allah bless us all with this quality of wara'. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite Durood Sharif.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم
La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nu. Allah, 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 la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد المبارك وسلم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم لك غنامكم معاف فرما همري خطاكم معاف فرما يا الله forgive us my Allah يا الله forgive us my Allah يا الله we are living a life full of disobedience my Allah gunas upon gunas my Allah يا الله we have no conscience my Allah يا الله we don't have your consciousness my Allah Allah, we don't have the muraqaba, my Allah. Ey Malik Kareem, ya Allah, we don't have taqwa, we don't have wara in our lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, we usurp people's properties, my Allah. Ya Allah, having no bother, no care, no concern, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Give us hidayat, my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us on sirat al-mustaqeem. Forgive us, my Allah. Help us to make amends, my Allah. Make us live a life full of taqwa and piety. Ya Allah, give us a strong iman. Bless us with a strong iman. Make us live with iman. Make us die with iman. Raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman. Ya Allah, strengthen our iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, become pleased with us, my Allah. Give us tawfiq of a'mali saliha. Help us to refrain from all your disobedience, from all evil, my Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wa zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Ya Allah, grant all of us afiyat salamati. Hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Give us yaqeen, your za'at, my Allah. Give us the halawat of iman. Bless us with the sweetness of iman. Ya Allah, bless us with the sweetness of begging from you. With the sweetness of tilawat of Quran. With the sweetness of dhikrullah. With the sweetness of making sajda before you, my Allah. Do not make us become lazy, my Allah. In making your ibadat, my Allah. In fulfilling your huquq, my Allah, and the huquq of mankind, my Allah, and the huquq of our brothers and sisters in Islam, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us good health, my Allah. There are so many people, young and old, who are not well, my Allah. Some in hospitals, my Allah, who've requested duas, my Allah. Some at home, my Allah. They're elderly people, my Allah. Ya Allah, they have no more hope, ya Allah, in getting cured. Ya Allah, you are Shafi, Shifa is in your hands, my Allah. Grant all of them afiyat and complete shifa, my Allah. And all the marhumeen, give them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us maut with iman, maut in Medina Sharif, burial in jannatul baqihi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat, the intercession of Rasulullah Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hawdi kuthur water from his mubarak hands. Ya Allah, make us enter jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of dajjal. Ya Allah, fulfill our hajat and needs, my Allah. Ya Allah, the young boys and young girls of marriageable age, my Allah. Age is catching up with them, my Allah. Ey Maliki Kareem, ya Allah, before they become too old, my Allah. Find them suitable partners, my Allah. Ya Allah, make them have a nikah according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make them live lives of taqwa and piety and wara and qanaat, my Allah. Bless them with pious offspring, my Allah. Ya Allah, ya qadhi al-hajat, ya dafi al-baliyat, ya hal al-mushkilat. اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك يا الله we have got different problems my Allah and different worries and concerns and sorrows and griefs my Allah and hardships my Allah somebody has got a financial difficulty my Allah somebody some social problem somebody some domestic problem husband and wife يا الله Ya Allah, they've got some problem, my Allah. You create muaddat, ya Allah, muhabbat, my Allah. Ya Allah, some parent, ya Allah, is becoming distressed because of the child, ya Allah, who's taking drugs or living a life full of vice and zina. Ya Allah, help those parents, my Allah. Give hidayah to the children, my Allah. Make those children become the anki tandak, my Allah. People have got different problems. You are well aware of each person's worries. Remove our difficulties. Remove our worries, my Allah. Fulfill each person's hajat and needs, my Allah. Ey Maliki Kareem, ya Allah, hum kisi aur se nahi mangte. We are only begging from you, my Allah, because you have mentioned in Surah Fatiha, which we read every day, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help, my Allah. There is nobody else who can help us, my Allah. There is no other Allah besides you, my Allah. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimeen. Ey Malik al-Kareem, my Allah. Our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, my Allah, in Palestine. Ya Allah, more than 100 days have gone by now, my Allah. Ya Allah, the enemy, ya Allah, they don't care one bit, my Allah. Despite, ya Allah, the noises and efforts the world has made, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are still making dua to you, my Allah. We have still raised our hands, having full hope, my Allah. Full hope in you, my Allah. We ask you by your most powerful names and qualities, my Allah. And your Ismi Azam, my Allah. Nobody can make you ghalib, my Allah. Nobody can overpower you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are Aziz and Hakim and Qahar, my Allah. Ya Allah, destroy the enemy, ya Allah. Remove them, obliterate them, my Allah. Ya Allah, humiliate and disgrace them, my Allah. All the sazish, my Allah. All the powers, bring it to zero and naught, my Allah. Ya Allah, you restore. Ya Allah, happiness and bliss and afiyat in those lands, my Allah. Bring Musalman strong again. Ya Allah, many have lost their entire families. Ya Allah, bless their families with Jannatul Firdaus, the Shuhada. Ya Allah, but those who are still remaining, my Allah. Ya Allah, help them to come back to their land, ya Allah. And remain on their land with afiyat and happiness, my Allah. You provide for them from unseen sources, my Allah. If the enemy don't want aid to come to them, my Allah. If the enemy don't want any person to contribute to them. Eh, Malik al-Kareem, ya Allah. You have mentioned, Inna Allah, huwa al-Razzaqu dhul-Quwwati al-Mateen. Ya Allah, you are the Razzaq. You are the one who provides, my Allah. You provide for them from unseen sources, my Allah. Make them be steadfast on the Iman, my Allah. Don't make them slip, my Allah. Allah, they are strong, that's why, my Allah. They have said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Ya Allah, keep them steadfast in the day of Qiyamah. Their progeny, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill the jaiz muraz, my Allah. Remove the difficulties, ya Allah. And wherever the ummah of Nabi Kareem is suffering in any way, my Allah. Where there is drought, bring rain, my Allah. Ya Allah, where there is floods, remove the floods, my Allah. Ya Allah, in our country, let there be aman and aman, my Allah. Ya Allah, make Islam become, ya Allah, spread in the four corners of the globe, my Allah. True Islam, true deen, my Allah. Make the disbelievers embrace Islam in great numbers, in droves, my Allah. Make us become the means of hidayat, my Allah. All good works of deen, da'wat and tabligh, tazkiyah and ta'aleem, the efforts of ulama and mashaykh making different organizations. Ya Allah, makatib, hifz classes, my Allah. Sabku qabool farma. Grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat, my Allah. Ya Allah, the mubarak mansa on the doorstep. Ya Allah, just know Rajab will come to an end in Shaban and Ramadan. Make us see Ramadan in a good condition. The condition of Iman and Taqwa, my Allah. Making great sacrifices and ibadat, ya Allah, which you're going to accept, my Allah. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. وجعلنا للمتقين إماما الحاضرين غائبين سبكين وقبول فرما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا الله give us حلال طيب روزي يا الله give us plentiful make us use it correctly my Allah ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.